I'd like to welcome everyone back this evening to our service. This afternoon for our lesson, we have John 15, verse 1 through verse 8. And I've entitled that, The True Vine. King James Version says, I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. You know, back during this time, the vineyards were very familiar to the disciples of Jesus when he was here on earth. People passed vineyards daily as they walked from place to place. Some owned their own vineyard. Others worked in a vineyard. They can discern fruitful branches from those that will drain the vine's energy. They cut away the unfruitful branches. The pruning of the branches that remain might seem cruel, but it renews the vine's vitality. Useless vines drain the plant's energy and strength. To leave them in place serves no purpose, and it reduces the value of the vineyard. The vine grower cuts away the unfruitful branches, and finding them unusable, he burns them. We find reference to vineyards in the Old Testament. Frequently pictures Israel as a vine or a vineyard. But typically these references are negative. Notice in Psalms 80, verse 8 and verse 9, Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted it. Thou preparest room before it, and didst cause it to take deep root, and it filled the land. Also, in Isaiah 5 and verse 7, For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression. For righteousness, but behold, a cry. And in Jeremiah 2, verse 21, says, Yet I have planted thee a noble vine, holy a ripe seed. How then art thou turned into the degenerate plant of a strange vine unto me? Just in the previous week, Jesus publicly talked about Israel being like a vineyard in the parable of the vineyard in Matthew 21, verse 33 through verse 44. In these Old Testament examples, Israel was the vine, and they were subject to judgment. In John 15, Jesus is the vine, and it is the branches. The disciples are the spiritual Israel who are subject to judgment. So in this, where is the representation of the church in our text? The fruitful church is the branch that the vine grower prunes. And it is the unfruitful church that is the branch that the vine grower removes and throws into the fire. Before we continue, let us go to our Father in prayer. From our text, beginning in verse 1, there again it says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. I think the New King James Version says vine dresser. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit is taken away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Jesus saying, I am the true vine. In the book of John, Jesus uses this phrase, I am, on several occasions. He said, I am the bread of life in John 6 and verse 35. I am the living bread that came down from heaven, chapter 6, verse 51. I am the light of the world, chapter 8 and verse 12. I am the sheep's door, chapter 10 and verse 7. I am the good shepherd, chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the resurrection and the life, chapter 11 and verse 25. I am the way and the truth and the life, chapter 14. In verse 6. This I am language used by Jesus is a reflection back to when Moses met God at the burning bush, when God identified himself to Moses. There in Exodus 3 and verse 14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. In other words, I am is God. And these I am descriptions identify Jesus as God once again. This is in keeping with the opening statement of the book of John, in John 1 and verse 1. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, in our lesson this evening, this is the last of the I am descriptions in this gospel. Like the other I am descriptions, bread, light, gate, shepherd, and so on, the vine comparison is encouraging and it's also comforting. At that time, vines and vineyards were familiar to disciples of Jesus and would remind them of home. When Jesus identifies himself as the true vine, he implies that there is a false vine. The Old Testament passages mentioned above makes it clear that Israel has been a false vine. Next he says, and my Father is the husbandman. This suggests that the Father is superior, but it also suggests that the equality between the Father and the Son is the same. The vine, the Son, is dependent on the vine grower, the Father, for its care and for its feeding. But the vine grower, the Father, is also dependent on the vine, the Son, for its produce, which is faithfulness. Each gives life to the other, and it takes life from the other. We cannot overstate the equality that exists between the Father and the Son. Jesus says in John 10 and verse 30, I and my Father are one. The Father or the husbandman does two things to improve the productivity of the vine. First, every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, he takes away. And second, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes or purges, that it may bear more fruit. It's important to understand that whether the branch is productive or not, the husbandman still uses a sharp knife. If the branch is non-productive, the husbandman removes it. But if the vine is productive, then the husbandman still prunes it to improve its productivity. We need to understand this. We would like to believe that the Father will remove the branch that is unproductive, but would spare the productive branch. However, the Father's loving care means being subject to the husbandman's pruning knife, which represents experiencing the loss of loved ones and trials and tribulations that hinder our discipleship. This can be painful, and sometimes it leaves us wondering if God really cares. Hebrews 12 and verse 6 explains it like this. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges every son whom he receiveth. He goes on to say in chapter 12 and verse 11 of Hebrews, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, after it yieldeth the peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. You know, parents are disciplined for their children, and this husbandman's pruning might be very painful, they're still very beneficial. It is important to remember that life involves pain, and this text assures us that the pain is not necessarily a sign of God's displeasure with us. Pain can be a sign that God still is working to mold us and to shape our lives to help us to become the very best that we can be. Jesus further encourages the disciples, now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. This is in verse 3. At the Passover, when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, he told them in John 13, verse 10 and verse 11, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, ye are not all clean. Once again, Jesus says his disciples are clean. His word has a cleansing power when we believe it and when we obey it and when we abide in Jesus. This also is edifying for the disciples. The closer our relationship to Christ, the more cleansed we are and the less pruning or cleansing that we will need. The Greek word can mean both pruned or purged and cleansed. Now in our text, beginning in verse 4, he says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So in our text, from verse 4 through verse 7, Jesus makes it very clear that our relationship with him, our abiding in him, is the key not only to fruitfulness, but also to our destiny. As a Christian, we find strength and purpose through our relationship with Christ. The weak person becomes stronger when he is grafted into the vine or onto the vine. And the strong person becomes helpless when he is detached from it. Also, Jesus has promised his disciples in John 14, verse 16 through verse 18, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide in you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. Brother Paul did a very good job in his lesson this morning explaining the purpose of the Holy Spirit. I'd like to go ahead and say that it would be good if every new convert heard the lesson Brother Paul gave this morning instead of having to search and study to determine what the Holy Spirit's responsibility and what his purpose really was. As you can see, and Brother Paul pointed out, the world is way off in some other realm concerning this teaching. And the thing Brother Paul pointed out is every word in the Scripture are very simple words. And why we can't understand them sometimes is beyond me. Anyway, very good job on that. I wanted to point that out. These words, though, in verse 4, abide in me and I in you, they're also addressed to the church. The second part of verse 4, as the branch can't bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me or abide in me. The church is sometimes tempted to look elsewhere for strength, but Jesus tells us that fruitfulness starts with him. If we are in his presence, his strength becomes our strength. And as soon as we turn our back on him, our strength begins to drain away. Sometimes our prayers and our daily Bible study get swallowed up in being busy throughout the day. Our true values are revealed in a way that we set our priorities or allow our priorities to set themselves. It is all too easy to allow these priorities to become our abiding place. But Jesus says, abide in me. Abiding in Jesus enables the branch to bear fruit. What fruit is Jesus referring to here? Jesus commands us to love one another in chapter 13 and verse 34 and also in chapter 15 and verse 12 of the book of John. So love must be one of these fruits. Jesus calls us to obey his commandments in chapter 15 and verse 10. So obedience must be one of these fruits. Jesus promises joy in chapter 15 and verse 11. So again, joy must be one of these fruits. But one thing we need to consider. Perhaps the fruit involves more than what is really revealed just in the book of John. Paul mentions the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5 and verse 22. There he talks about love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So abiding in Jesus, surely this must produce a part of each of these in some measure to us. When asked to measure one's faithfulness, sometimes as the church we look to baptisms, how many baptisms, maybe attendance at worship, or the number of times we are able to talk to friends and family concerning Jesus, hoping that they will turn and follow him. True faithfulness or true fruitfulness flows from our abiding relationship with Jesus and the Spirit whom Jesus has promised. Brother Paul talked about this morning. It follows that our fruit will be that which we are given and will be specific to each one of us. The critical test is whether or not it glorifies God. We are faced with the practical question of how to go about the business of abiding in Jesus. What is it that we really need to do? And there are three disciplines to which we need to attend as a Christian. Service to God through public worship and support of the church. Service to others, especially service to those that are in need. Service to ourselves through personal prayer, devotions, and daily Bible study. Verse 5, he says, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who remains in me and I in him, the same bears much fruit. For apart from me, he says, you can do nothing. Jesus does not say, I am the tree and ye are the branches. The branch of a tree might have some value as firewood or even if it's detached from the tree. The branch of a vine is suitable for one of two things, either to be engrafted into the vine or to be thrown into fire. Rather than just being mediocre, When not connected to Jesus, we become completely powerless. Rather than the value of our work and influence being just diminished, it becomes completely worthless. We can no more function spiritually when unconnected from Jesus than we can function physically when we are cut off from the air that we breathe. Being unconnected to Jesus is being cut off from the source of life. Without our connection to Jesus, we are completely dependent on our own resources, which will bear little or no fruit. Verse 6 says, if a man doesn't remain in me, he is thrown out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them, throw them into the fire, and they are burned. This echoes the tone of judgment in Jesus' metaphor of the sheep and the goats. We would prefer that Jesus affirm our goodness and assure us of life. Instead, we learn that when we are apart from Christ, there is no goodness in life. Verse 7 says, if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you will ask whatever you desire and it will be done for you. John 1 and verse 1 again says, in the beginning was the Word. Jesus is the Word of God, the one who embodies all that the Father intended to communicate to mankind. The Greek word used in this verse has to do with the spoken words. These words are Christ's teachings, which he has implanted in the disciples' hearts. Verse 7 sounds very much like the ask and you will receive passage that we read in the Sermon on the Mount. But verse 7 establishes an important condition. It is only the person who abides in Christ who can expect to receive whatever he or she asks for. We have great power, but only as we are connected to the source of power. If we abide in Christ and his words abide in us, our asking will be in accordance with God's will. Jesus says, whatever you desire. But the person who abides in Christ will not wish for thoughtless or evil things. As we abide in Christ, our hearts will be focused on Christ's concerns and our prayers will sound more like his prayers. Then in verse 8 he says, in this is my Father glorified. The word glory is used in the Bible to speak of various wonderful things, but it is used especially to speak of God's glory, an impression associated with God's appearance that reveals God's mighty majesty to mankind. Christ shares in God's glory. The glory of the Lord was revealed at his birth in Luke 2 and verse 9, and also John 1 and verse 14. His disciples, Peter, James, and John, were privileged to see Christ's glory on the Mount of Transfiguration in Luke 9, verse 28 through verse 26. The cross of Christ was necessary so that he might enter into his glory, Luke 24 and verse 26, and also Philippians 2, verse 5 through 11. The Gospel of John speaks of the cross as Christ's glorification. John 12, verse 23. Also, chapter 13, verse 31 through 32. Jesus spoke of returning with power and great glory in Luke 21 and verse 27. This verse tells us that we too can glorify God by our actions and by our fruit bearing. It says that you bear much fruit. Fruit was an important source of food for people of Jesus in that day. In this verse, fruit is a metaphor for the fruits of Christian living. That is, Christ-like living. That kind of life gives glory to the Heavenly Father because Christian lives manifest themselves as faithful, hopeful, and loving. In 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, says, now abideth faith, hope, charity. These three. But the greatest of these is charity. People are drawn to people with those qualities. And that gives Christians an opportunity to influence others to turn to the Lord, who makes that kind of life possible. And he says, and so you will be my disciples. The word disciples means one who learns from the teacher and practices those things that the teacher has taught. In closing, while none of us will ever be able to follow Christ perfectly, this verse tells us that there is a clear connection between fruit-bearing and discipleship. The person who bears fruit in Christ or living becomes Christ Jesus' disciple. The implication is that the person who does not bear fruit is not a disciple of Christ. If there is one that is subject to the gospel call, well, did you come as we stand in this church?